I want you to take your Bible tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. I'm going to try to expedite the sermon. I don't want to be in such a hurry that you miss what the Lord would have for us tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, once you find that chapter, I want you to stand with me, if you will, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're going to start with verse number 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting with verse 34, I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. The Bible says this, "Let your women keep silence in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandment of the Lord. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues." By the way, that's not talking about some jibber-jabber. It is a foreign language used. And it goes on to say in verse number 40, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Verse number 40 is very important to the sermon tonight. Let all things be done decently and in order. Let me pray. Father, help us tonight to be reminded of the importance of order. Order. God, bless us with thy presence. Oh, we've fellowshipped. We have sung. We have heard good singing. We have prayed. God, now it comes time to exalt the teaching of Jesus. It's time to live the Bible that we say we've learned. Bless us now in a unique way with thy presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. I can help you tonight. I'll start out by saying this. I could help someone here to cancel your nervous breakdown, if you'll listen to what I say. Tucked in a little humor, a unique illustration, is a truth that is stabilizing in life. If you find yourself frantic a lot, if you find yourself overwhelmed a lot, if you'll listen, in this truth tonight, there's something that will help you. I like to do things according to the Bible. I pick my potato chips according to the Bible. There's a lot to choose from out there. Lots of snacks. Lay's, they say, you can't eat just one. Doritos are the nacho cheesier chips. Cheetos is a cheese that goes crunch. You all know the Bible. That's what I like about you. Back when there was a time when Fritos, when they advertised their corn chips, there was a guy that came on and he sang, "Ay, ay, 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 I am a Frito bandito." They said about Ruffles that Ruffles have ridges. They had a way of saying it. Hey, even Cracker Jacks, there's a prize at the bottom of every box. That's how the tattoo craze got started in America. Y'all remember when you used to get some Cracker Jacks and in the bottom was a little rub-on tattoo? Boy, did that catch on with the kids and has grown into adulthood. By the way, some of you are going to regret it, because when you're 90, where that tattoo once was, it ain't there anymore. So you might want to watch what you do. If I were to ask you tonight, what's your favorite chips? And I would say that out loud, except for somebody yell poker chips. And that's not what I'm talking about. But my favorite potato chip is Pringles. And I'm going to tell you why. These chips here, they're organized. You know, the truth of the matter is, they've kind of got it together. And pay attention. I don't need you to preach my sermon for me. I need you to listen to it. Did you know your God's an organized God? He's an organized God. He planned the organization of the creation of everything. He had a day one. And on each day, he created something that he had put on his schedule book that he had planned to create. He didn't wake up on day one and say, "Oh, I wonder what I'll do today." No, he knew what he'd do today. Day one, he created light. On day two, God followed the organization for day two. On day three, he again followed his plan. On day four, there was an order for the day. He knew what would come first in the day, what would come second in the day, what he would do. On day five, again, you know what God did? As much as in your way of thinking, day five, he pulled out a schedule book and he said, this is what's on the agenda for me to be God today, and I'm going to do it. On day six, he pulled out his planner and he made sure he followed the plan. On day seven, he rested, but that's what he had put in his schedule. That's what he had planned to do. You see, God is an organized God. These chips, they're organized. Believe it or not, that's attractive to me. I like things to be in their order. I like things to be where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there, doing what they're supposed to do. And folks, that will bring security to your life. The entire Bible, you know what it is? It's God's schedule book. God had said this is going to happen, and it did. There are people that say, well, I'll see you again if the Lord does not tarry. I've got news for you. God knows when he's coming. He's going to come when he planned on coming. You don't have to worry. He's not up there saying, well, I wonder what we're going to do today. No, it doesn't work that way. The entire Bible is God's order of events. The entire Bible is God's organization book. God is a God of order. That's why I love Pringles potato chips. They're stacked in order. Now, I have some Lay's here, but I got to show you something. Now, I'm going to pour out the Lay's. That's some of your life. It's a hodgepodge. It's unorganized. It's a mess. Can I tell you that you'll get some peace in life if you'll organize your life? Let me show you something. Brother Elswick, come up here if you will. I want you to stand right here, and if you would, I would like for you to stack those for me. All right. Thank you, Brother Elswick. Yes, you are sorry, but what does that have to do with this illustration? You know, it's a bit of a mess. And I'm going to tell you all something. In here are a bunch of broken things. Yeah, broken relationships. Your responsibilities are broken. When there is a disorganization, things get messed up. And listen real carefully. Don't be too busy taking notes that you miss what I'm saying up here. Stay with me. Stay with the moment, because you won't forget what I say. You'll remember this. It's intended for you to remember. But you have to understand that this order, that chip. Do you understand what that thing has been through? It was in this container in the back of an 18-wheeler. Enough said. It's a miracle they all don't look like that. All beat up. And that's what some of your lives are like. They're just a hodgepodge of disorganization. That is attractive to me. And I don't know why. It has been for years. I would look at that and I would say, I would like for God to help me to order my world. I want my private world ordered. I want my ministry ordered. I want it. You know, that's an incredible thing. We're going to have a little bit of fun. Brother Edwards, you know the song, that great gospel hymn called Potato Chip, Potato Chip? Okay. We're going to teach you something that's almost as good as Amazing Grace, okay? You teach them.
All right, bus workers, I need your help here. Here we go. Potato chip, potato chip.
Potato chip, potato chip.
Crunchy, crunchy.
Crunchy, crunchy.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
A bunchy, bunchy.
A bunchy, bunchy.
Potato chip, potato chip. Crunchy, crunchy. I love Jesus. A bunchy, bunchy. Oh, but peanut butter, peanut butter. Creamy, creamy. I hate the devil. Cause he's a meanie, meanie. Oh, but potato chip, potato chip. Crunchy, crunchy. I love Jesus. A bunchy, bunchy.
Now, what a great singer he is. You know, folks, in the bottom of this bowl, in the bottom of this bag, there are a lot of things that are crunched. Do you know that many times, you ever get to the bottom of a bag like this and it's so much, there's so much dust that you just about throw it away because it's hard to use? I like to dip chips. I like sour cream and onion dip. And to me, if it's not big enough to dip, it may be worthless. Now, and I know there is an answer. I just dip my whole hand in there. But look, you know, I think there's sometimes the potentials of life are wasted in the bottom of a disorganized bag. And so we mess up. Stay with me. I think some of you are miserable because your life is out of order. You need to get your life at least as organized as a can of chips. That's why you're frustrated. That's why you're not productive. That's why you have 50 things started and nothing finished. That's your life. That will bring security, productivity, a greater feeling of accomplishment, and a certain amount of peace to your life. A judge takes their gavel and hits it. Order in the court. Order in the court. May I say, order in the church. Order in your home. Order at work. Order is productive. You know, children have to learn how to get dressed in an order. If you cut them loose early enough in life, they get it out of order. They can put their shoes on without their socks on. They can put the outer garment on before the undergarment. And you got to teach them. They've got to learn. Do you know that you and I are to do things in order? Do you know why blondes write TGIF on their shoes? That stands for toes go in first. Toes go in first. There's an order to this thing. Now, stay with me and let me show you something. To get your life in order, what you do is you start and you take little parts of your life and you organize the little parts. Life is made up of many little areas. Add all the little areas together and you get the sum total of your great big life. You may say, my life is a big mess. What that means is all the little areas of your life are a mess. What do? You start cleaning up or organizing each category of life. To have a great big church, what do? You take all the little parts of the church, you get them organized properly, and then you add all the little pieces together, those little organized compartments. Once you stack all them, you get the big stack, you have succeeded at building a great big thing. A great big thing are a series of little things done in a great way. Get the parts in order. There are some of you, you need to get some things in order in your life. And I'm going to be very simple, and I will. I'll expedite things. That means I'll hurry. But listen. Some of you need to get your church attendance in order. You need to get your Bible reading in order. You need to get your prayer life in order. You need to get this thing of soul winning in order. You need to get your finances in order. You need to get your finances in order. You need to get your finances in order. You need to get your family in order. You need to get your Christianity in order. Young people, you want to do well at school? Organize yourself at school. There's an order. You say, preacher, it's such a big mess. How do I? You put the little pieces in order. Anybody can organize the little pieces one at a time. And then you add one to another to another. And before long, you've got the order. For instance, let me give you some areas on which to work on this order. God is an organized God. I can take you to verse after verse after verse after verse after verse, and I can show you the organization of God. We started out by saying He did something on the first day and on the second day and on the third day and on the fourth day and on the fifth day, all the way through the Bible. God, everything, God has an order for it. But young people, God said the order is you get married, then you have a physical relationship. Then you have a baby. Anything else is out of order. That'll mess up your life. There's an order for everything. For instance, get your church attendance in order. Hebrews 10:25 tells us that that there are those that are forsaking the assembling of themselves together. You're not to do that. Now, I start here with getting your church attendance in order because that one will help you with the others. I believe since God is such a great God of order, as a pastor, I need to help you to spiritually organize your lives. There are some of you now that are accomplished some things that you never accomplished before because somebody showed you how to put it together. They showed you, this is how you do it. That's part of my job. Now, your life will get out of order if your life is not involved in church. Church needs to be a part of your life, or it's like this. And there are all sorts of people in here that have testified to me. They said, Brother Owens, before I got saved and got into church, my life was a wreck. It's like this. But you know what God begins to do? God takes this and He organizes it, and He gives us rhythm. He gives us purpose. He tells us what goes first. He teaches us priorities. And folks, if you can learn that, your life is going to get better. Your life, if it's out of order, you're going to have a hard time. Now, folks, you do realize you can't be right with God if you're unfaithful to church. You can't be right with God. Church is an organizer of the life of the Christian. So here's what you do. And I'm going to be simple, but let me tell you something. Here's what you do. We'll start with Sunday, if I could. You need to set a time that you're going to leave to head for Sunday school on Sunday morning. I set a time. Then I arrive to Sunday school on time. Then I go to Sunday school. Then I go to church. Then I go home and take a nap and come back to church with a cowlick in my hair. Then I set a time to get back for the evening activities. I set a time to get here for choir practice, or for Flyers Club, or for King's Kids, or for Youth Ablaze. Then I stay for church. Then I go to cookout for a milkshake after church. You know what, Ben? Wednesday, I show up where I'm supposed to show up. I'm at the Sunday school teachers' meeting. Get my kids to children's choir. Get my teenager to teen choir. I come to Wednesday night church. Some of you need to organize your life. You say, that's so simple. I know. Some of you can't seem to do it. How people be faithful like that? Just like I told you. Tonight, the sermon is not get your ducks in a row. It's get your chips in a row. Get your chips in a row. You say, that's simple. I know. There are people under the sound of my voice and some not under the sound of my voice because their life is just so complicated, they can't figure out how to do it. Hey, you know what you need to do? You need to get your Bible reading in order. Let me help you. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, His word is a light unto our feet. It's a lamp unto our path. You know what you need to do? You need to get you a King James Bible. Then you need to decide to read it. I would recommend you pick a place to read it. I would recommend you pick a time to read it. I would recommend that you start on time. I would recommend you stop on time. I would recommend that you decide how much you'd like to read, maybe 3 chapters a day. I would even recommend then you plan to live what you read. You know, that wasn't real hard, was it? Why don't you read your Bible consistently? Well, you didn't decide to read it, and you didn't decide to read it at a certain time, and you didn't decide to read it at a certain place, and you didn't decide to read 3 chapters a day, and so if we all had to stand and tell the truth tonight about your Bible reading, you would all say, I'm a lazy Bible reader. A few would say, I'm a Pringles guy. Let me show you something else. Some of you need to get your prayer life in order. Get it in order. Folks, come to church and learn about prayer. How are you doing with your prayer life? Here's what you do. You decide it's important to pray every day. You pick a place that you will pray, and I'd recommend it not be in front of the television. Or in front of your computer. Or listen, or with your cell phone. There are some of you who need to take your cell phone, lock it in the refrigerator, and get yourself about a mile away from it when it's time for you to pray. I'm putting 2 on here because that was a really good point, preacher. If it is you're going to have a prayer list, have it available. And then you pray. And you decide how long you're going to pray, and you stay there and pray that long. You ask for things for others. You ask for things for yourself. You know what? You say, that's as easy as stacking chips. Yeah, but what's the problem? Is your prayer life in order? I would recommend that you get this issue of soul winning in order. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Everybody's to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. So I would recommend that you decide you're supposed to be a soul winner because the Bible says so. Then I would recommend that you pick a time to go soul winning. I'll tell you this. We have a Thursday night soul winning at 7. We have a Saturday soul winning at 10 a.m. We have our bus ministry. Now, not everybody can work in the bus ministry. There are some qualifications there. But we have a 10 o'clock adult soul winning program that you could come to. And I would tell you also, you say, well, preacher, I'm going to go out soul winning on my own time. Good. Then let me tell you how to succeed at it. Have a time. Because if you say, I'll work it in. No, you won't. That's why you don't do it now. And for some of you, hey, anybody in this church, you can go soul winning anytime you want. You don't have to come to the organized program. But for some of you, if you don't come to the organized program, your soul winning will look like this. It'll never happen because you won't make yourself go do it by yourself. Oh, and you decide which soul winning program you're going to be at. You say it's going to be Thursday night at 7. We'll get it in order. It's going to be Saturday at 10. Get it in order. Me and a man in the church, we've agreed every week we're going to go soul winning together. It's going to be Saturday at 2. Get it in order. Then what do I do? Well, I would probably get your New Testament ready. I'd mark the Bible so you know how to do it. My Bible's marked. I mean, I actually have an organization or I have a system written down in my Bible. I tell everybody, everyone's a sinner. Romans 3:10. Then I've got that in order and I tell everyone there's a price on sin. Romans 6:23. Then I tell them that Jesus paid that price. Romans 6:23b. Then I tell them that they need to ask Jesus to come into their heart and save them. Romans 10:9-13. Then I show them how to pray. You're not a soul winner in most cases because you didn't plan to be a soul winner. Get it in order. Get your life in order. Is your soul winning life organized? That's not hard, is it? There's not a thing that I've said is hard. Why is yours like this? It's because of one simple thing. You need to take the little pieces, get them in order. Plan your work. Work your plan. Don't get sidetracked. Plan your work. Work your plan. Don't get sidetracked. Sunday school teachers, get order for your class. Plan it. Plan it. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. That no one will ever look at me and say, that guy has a brilliant mind. They'll all walk away saying, that's about as simple as a country boy I've ever seen when he preaches. But I never have anyone say, I ain't get it. I want you to understand it. I'm not trying to impress you with my intellect as if I could. I want the youngest child. I want Stephen to walk out of here and say, I got that, Dad. And I want a man with a doctor's degree like Ron. I want him to walk out and say, that helped me, preacher. I got it. I got it. See, Sunday school teacher, plan it. Have an order of service. Plan it. We're going to start with a song. Then we're going to pray. Then we're going to play a little game. Then we're going to have an offering. Get a rhythm that your students understand. You'll have less discipline problems if they know what's coming and what's expected of them. If you're going to introduce visitors, do it. If you're going to take attendance, do it. Then you're going to teach a lesson, do it. Then you're going to win someone to Christ, do it. Hey, organize to visit your absentees. Organize, teacher, to show up at the teacher's meeting on Wednesday night. You say, well, that's not hard. That right there will turn you into a success in Sunday school. I guarantee it. You say, I'm not a great teacher. You get yourself organized and you teach the organized book. You'll succeed. Bus captains, organize it. Organize to be there on Saturday. Organize your Saturday visitation. Go visit your regulars. Go visit your absentees. Go visit some new prospects. Take the time to organize a list that you hand to your driver so he knows what's forthcoming on Sunday. Organize it so one worker runs the broom at the end of the day. Organize it so somebody's taking names. Organize it. Hey, if you will organize your bus route, you don't have to be a great builder. The organization and obedience to the Scripture will produce what God wants it to produce. I'll promise you. I'm not a real smart person, and I don't have a whole lot going for me, but I decided what little bit I have going for me, I will do it in an organized way. I'll give my best to it, and somehow God blesses that. Hey, God gave us a church. You know what He expects? Order in the church. This is, the Scripture calls it the church of God. Well, don't you think God, you know what this whole book is? God's order. For what? The church and Christians. The order of the church. God's first. And I don't say this because I'm the pastor. But God said, now, right under me in leadership of the church, I'll pick a pastor. And so God says, there's the pastor, and then there's God's people. And that's God's order. I didn't pick that order. I didn't write the book. I just preached the book. There are all sorts of churches that are out of order, though. Do you know there are churches that will take a board and try to make it God, the board, and then the pastor? That's out of order. That creates this. It creates that. You say, where are the deacons? I don't know. Hey, so you understand, at our church, we don't have a deacon board. We have a group of deacons. You say, what's their job? To serve. That's exactly what the Scripture says. They guide us and direct us. The deacon board, they don't run roughshod over me. Wouldn't do them any good anyway. But order. Do you know how many big denominations and everything are out of order? They're out of order. Hey, folks, let's get our families in order. Is your family like this? Get it in order. You say, who comes first? God. Who comes next? Your mother-in-law, if she's in town. Sorry, Walter. Walter's got family in town. But, okay. No, it's God, and then the husband, and very close by is the wife. Very close by. Really, the husband and wife are to be unified. Hubby is just going to take the fall for what happens. Then come the children. America's out of order. The average household is not ran like that anymore. And so you know, I do not believe it for a moment husbands are to be abusive toward their wives and the wife is not your slave. I don't believe that at all. I think it's to be a unified effort to lead. But God said, husbands, love your wives and wives submit unto your own husband. America is out of order though. The average home today is ran by the children. The teenager says, this is what I'm going to do. And the parents end up finding themselves submitting as the teenager becomes rebellious. Teenagers, you will mess your life up just like that by getting it out of order. It is to be God, the husband, the wife, they form a team, and they rear the children. A married man said to his wife, he said, I've got to admit, honey, you have brought religion into my life. He said, I never believed in a hell before I married you. Hey, get your family in order. Folks, could I recommend that you get your finances in order? Here's what I find most of the time. And folks, I know to some of you this will sound like an exaggeration. I have counseled tens of thousands of people. And I've helped a lot of people with their finances. Now, I'm no brilliant man about finances, but I do know just enough about it to help us get by, I'll guarantee. But one of the biggest problems with most people's finances is they're not in order. Many times there's enough money. The problem is we don't know where it's at, what it's being spent on, and it's not organized like it ought to be. Let me explain it to you. God gives you strength, air, food, a body, and a mind. You better realize that. Then God gives you a job. Then God gives you a paycheck. Then God said, I gave it all to you, give me back 10%. By the way, that's the exact order. And if you don't do that, you're out of order. Then you go pay for your needs. Your needs. Then you save some. The Bible says you're to go to the ant. The ant puts away for a rainy day. So if you don't put away for a rainy day, your brain's smaller than an ant brain. You're not laughing, and I know why you're not. Then you're to put some away for a rainy day. Then you go buy the unnecessary items of life. You say, like what? Eating out. And a boat. And an elaborate vacation. And your cigarettes. You know what's sad? There are all sorts of people that spend all sorts of money for cigarettes. They won't even tithe. You mean in your order, it's cigarettes, God. You say, are you mad at me? No, and if you smoke, I don't know it. And if you're feeling bad right now, you might want to take it up with God. Because I can't convict you. Only God can. You see, we get things out of order. Could I recommend that you get your Christianity in order? Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 tells us, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, and the end of the earth. God has a way of organization. Here's what happens. The first thing the human race is to do is get born. You've all done that. You're born. You were born lost. You're unsaved. Then what? Get born again. Then what? Get baptized after you got saved. Then what? Simultaneously in the Bible, they joined the church. Then what? Well, then they began to grow in the Lord. Then what? They were to go out and get somebody else saved. Then what? They were to get somebody else baptized. Then what? They were to help them join the church. Then what? They were to teach them to grow in the Lord. Then what? Their convert's supposed to go get somebody saved. Then what? Their convert is supposed to get somebody baptized. Then their convert is supposed to get somebody in the church so they can grow. Then their convert's convert is supposed to go get somebody saved. You know what? That's how the gospel got from all the way back when Jesus was alive to this day. There has been an order. And I'll tell you something. If God were depending on you to get the gospel to the next generation, some of you are out of order. Out of order. Hey, get this. I'm almost finished. Get your service to God in order. The Bible says get saved, then you get baptized. Virtually and simultaneously in the Bible, they got baptized and joined the church at the same time. Then God said learn the Bible. Then separate from the world. Make sure you're going soul winning. Then you start stepping up to where you get to start teaching this in the Bible. There's an order. Some of you, you got saved, you got baptized, you joined the church, and that's it. Are you a good Christian? Well, you got three chips. There's more to it than that, right? You say, I don't have time. Probably because of this. I don't mean this vainly. You want to sit down? We'll take your life. I'll help you organize it. I'll guarantee it. But I will tell you, you got to get up at a certain time in the morning. And then you will put a schedule together, and then you will obey that schedule. And there's some of you say, I just don't have time. You do have time. You don't use your time wisely. This will take frustrations out of life. This adds productivity to life. Can I tell you something? I'm going to really tell on myself. I organize and I love living my life at a fast pace. And I'll tell you one reason why. I love the result of having time to myself to do what I want later. When I get all my work done, I'm chill out. I don't know if our church would be mad at me if I decided to take a whole day off. Probably not. You know why? They'd say, you do get quite a bit done. I enjoy the privilege of having things done so I can then organize time off. You say, I just wish I had time to go fishing. You probably do. You've got it, but you just got a hodgepodge in your schedule. You say, I just don't like living that way. I'm going to tell you something. Those of you who say, I don't want to live that way, you're not going to like heaven. Heaven is not going to be a free-for-all where we all just go do what we want. There's going to be a plan. That's what makes it perfect. Everybody will do what they're supposed to do, when they're supposed to do it, how they're supposed to do it. That's what makes it sinless. It might be a good idea you get ready for heaven. Don't you want to be productive in life? Do you want to die having just... I just barely made it. Are you going to leave anything behind for the next generation in regard to your teaching or your influence or your productivity for God? Do you want to waste your whole life just eating and sleeping? Cows do that. Dogs do that. But the human race is supposed to be different. I love Pringles. And I know that sounds silly, but I have explained to you why. And what you need really is as simple as I described it. Some of you will not tear into your life and reorganize it because you say it's too overwhelming. I'm not telling you to fix it all at one time. I'm telling you take a little pocket of it and get it stacked up right. Then you go to another pocket. You get that fixed. And then another. And before long, you have a successful, organized life. Let me tell you something. I wish I had time to say everything I want to say. I promised you I would expedite the sermon, and I have. Some of your relationships, can I tell you why they're a mess? Your relationships are unorganized. You're married, and you started out, you were very happy because you dated, and you said please. You said thank you. And you watched your breath, because that was an issue. You used to chew your Dentine. You used to brush your breath with Dentine. Or you popped a Sertz or a Tic Tac. Now, you don't care. Your breath stinks. You don't comb your hair. You don't date. You're not kind. You don't say please. You don't say thank you. Your life is like this. And if you get your life back like this, and if you get your relationships like this, you say, I just don't have anything going on with my kids. And I'll tell you why. You're raising your kids like this when you need to get organized like this. You raise good kids on purpose, not in a hodgepodge. America, she used to be far more like that. Today, you got about two or three bulls just like this, and they fight all the time. America needs somebody to reorganize her biblically. And it would change our country. You have a business? Is your business like this? If you say, I'm not a good organizer and I own a business, then I'd hire somebody that was a good organizer. Be the best investment you ever made. Say, I'm making pretty good money right now and I'm a mess. Let me tell you how much you could make if you were not a mess. Another sermon like Payday Someday, preached from the pulpit of Twin Rivers Baptist Church. I love Pringles potato chips. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, I want to recommend Him to you. The best decision you could make is to get saved, and you ought to get that in order. You say, oh, I'm a member of the church and I got baptized. Look, you get saved first. If you're not saved, you need to get born again. That's the right order. If you don't get saved, then you'll die and go to hell. That's the order. You get saved, then you get to go to heaven. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, preacher, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand? All right. Are there Christians here tonight that would say, Brother Owens, tonight, tucked in this sermon, though a little silly and fun, I see it. I need to get order in some different areas of my life so I might succeed for Jesus in them. I'm going to bow my head and close my eyes, but if you could raise your hand and say, God's spoken to my heart through this sermon, you raise your hand and let God see it. I'm not looking. I don't need to look. My hand's up. I got some areas that need some more order. You think about that. Now you put your hands down. Let me say this to you, folks. I love you and I'm your friend. I want everyone in here to succeed. I want you to fulfill your potential. Matter of fact, I want you to exceed what you think your potential is. I want to grow you. I want to help you. I want to help you at home and in your business, in your everyday life, in your relationships. If you've listened to what I've said, some of you can cancel the nervous breakdown in the future and your business falling apart or your family falling apart. Why? Get the order. It'll make a difference. We're going to have an altar call. If you need to come and take a moment, and maybe you need to come and say, Lord, help me. Maybe you need to come apologize. Maybe some of you need to come up here on your knees and take a moment and maybe start a little plan. And don't just listen to the sermon. Go home and do it. Get it organized. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need to come, you come. Order. He says, order in the court. Order in the court. We need to get order in our homes, and order in our churches, and order in our ministries, order in our business, order. Get it together. Get the finances together. Get your family together. Start planning some family time together. Dates together. Time with the kids. You organize it, then you make it happen. Plan your work. Work your plan. Don't get sidetracked. God is not the author of confusion. God is every bit a God of order. Order. I know some preachers that are great pulpiteers, but they can't get their church where they want it, and I'll tell you why. They can preach up a storm, but they can't organize the growth that could come. This is the last time through the song. Thank you, Mrs. Young.